This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. We want to talk with Republican candidate for Congress, Monique Despain. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, I know in the middle of the summer, well, actually, we're in the beginning of the summer now, but in the summertime season, a lot of folks not paying as much attention to a campaign, but campaigns themselves have a lot going on because it's the time to really get ready for the big push in the fall. What kinds of things is your campaign involved with right now?
I am raising money and knocking on doors, and I'll be spending a lot of time in Roseburg this weekend. So we're coming up on the close of the second quarter. It's really important to keep ahead of the opponent on fundraising like we have been so we can do a good showing in the fall. So MoniqueForCongress.com, you can make contributions there. But we have already knocked about 4,000 doors throughout the district. I have a wonderful team of volunteers in Roseburg, and I'm going to be door knocking with them on Sunday and having a meet and greet at the Backside Brewery at 12:30 to 1:30, meet Monique this Sunday, Backside Brewery. So we're doing things like that every day. But I wanted to come on and just finish telling the story or an update with this case that's very important to the citizens of Roseburg, the Sahara Dwight case, murder case.
Yeah, you were at the hearing, if I'm correct.
I went to the release hearing on June 3rd. You know, all through the campaign, I've been telling everyone my priorities are the priorities of Oregonians in the 4th District. And one of those priorities is public safety. And one of my supporters contacted me to share his story. He introduced me to Tyler Dwight about this just horrible experience, just terrible situation his family has been enduring for over 16 years. And it turned out, ironically, that the murderer, Dustin Wallace, was actually one of the subjects of a lawsuit where Kevin Mannix and I sued Kate Brown when she commuted the sentences of Dustin Wallace and about 79 other terrible criminals who committed Measure 11 crimes when they were juveniles. So just was kind of ironic that that case that I worked hard on years before running for Congress was back in front of me with the reverberating effects of those terrible things that Tina Kotak and the Oregon legislature delivered.
Well, I understand earlier we talked with State Senator David Brock Smith, in fact, I think right after the hearing, and I know that was a tough time for the family, a very intense hearing to observe.
Can you imagine? Your little girl is brutally raped and murdered, and the judge tells you in court, that guy will never be walking the streets again. The DA, Rick Wessenberg, he did the right thing. Judge Garrison issued a 2 consecutive life sentence and with no possibility of parole. And then to have our Oregon state legislators pass laws to undo that just sentence is just terrible. And so, yeah, the family's been fighting for a long time. They called me. The best I could do was just try to put some public pressure on the, build public pressure, reach out to the governor, urge her to revoke that commutation order. And, just so many people got engaged on that. And what I realized, though, is so many people don't understand. Like, they're like, hang the judge. And it is not the judge that did the wrong thing. It's our Oregon legislators. And Senator Brock Smith should be part of turning that around and undoing Senate Bill Measure 1008. And hopefully we get a good governor who is willing to revoke that commutation order because this is held in abeyance for the Dwight family only for 10 years. And another 10 years, they have to go through this again. But 10 years should be enough for our Oregon legislators who we elect to turn this dreadful thing around and protect victims and not protect criminals. And I'll note, you know, the governor was silent on this, and so was my opponent, Val Hoyle. And she, you know, at the time, right around the time that the judge was doing the right thing and sentencing this monster to life, Val Hoyle was the House Majority Leader, and Kotek was the Speaker, and they were passing a law in 2013 to help sex offenders get their convictions set aside and apply for expungement. I mean, we just have to get rid of these elected representatives who are passing the laws that are causing our neighborhoods to be unsafe.
So as you look at your campaign, I know this particular situation really resonated. A lot of folks remembered the original crimes here in Roseburg, yeah, a number of years ago. As you watch that situation and you see what that hearing was like and what goes on, does that give you more desire to be elected and be in a position for that kind of thing, for lots of other things where you can have an impact?
100%. That experience just underscored how dangerous our current elected representatives are, and we need to step up and take back our communities. I know the people of Roseburg highly regard law enforcement. I'm honored to have the endorsement of Sheriff Hanlon. I'm going to continue and will always stand with law enforcement and our district attorneys who, they have the same challenge I do with a campaign, raising awareness of people. It's expensive. And so I hope a lot of people learned that it is our elected representatives who are passing laws that do not support law enforcement and public safety. It's one of the primary reasons I'm running. You know, on a national level, we have we have Val Hoyle advocating for an open border still. That is very unsafe. And then in her time in the Oregon legislature, you can just run through the list of pro-criminal laws supported passing, got passed. And it's been a deliberate undermining of the criminal justice system for years. So, yes, I can't, you know, at the time that I was fighting for victims' rights, I never contemplated I'd be running for office. But it's one of the reasons that I was inspired to do it, because somebody's got to do it and speak up for the people of Oregon. So really terrible to meet the Dwight family under those conditions, but I was glad to be there. It was quite an experience to sit in like an 8-hour release hearing. Thank God they came to the right conclusion and they gave the maximum wait time, but I don't think the Dwight family should even be presented with that specter 10 years from now. So now, inspired to continue representing people in Oregon and being the voice for Oregonians. And when I knock on doors, I just really, you know, I know that people are so ready for change. They're really suffering under the legal constraints that we have all throughout our communities.
So along with the crime-related issues, what are some of the other top issues driving your campaign?
Well, affordability. Again, very much driven by government having too many regulations, permits, and of course taxation. I'm really proud of Oregonians. They across the entire state stood up against the Oregon state legislative governor wanting to add another tax, not delivering results though, right? It's just another example of taxation without representation. All of this is driving up costs on absolutely everything. Housing remains, I'm knocking on doors with, you know, modest homes and the rents are outrageous. People are really struggling with no opportunity to save. I want to get us back to the prosperity we once had. You know, we talk a lot about accessing timber, managing our forests, having a resource that we can sell that has value to the rest of the country and the world instead of looking to us to pay for everything. Taxes and real estate taxes. We need to get back to jobs, affordable housing, and we can do that if we have good leadership that's passing the right laws.
We're going to take a break, talk more with Monique Despain when we come back. The interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Republican candidate for Congress, Monique Despain, talking about her campaign and some of the issues that are driving it. You mentioned affordability for people trying to get homes, for example. Talk about the housing situation in your district, how you think you could make a difference working on the housing issues.
Well, there are federal laws being passed in the Oregon legislature that would remove some of the barriers to building housing and developing housing. Val Hoyle voted against the SPEED Act. I would have voted in support of it. It just removed, like I say, I talk about it all the time. I hear it from builders. They got to spend $100,000 on before they can even break ground, getting through all the surveys and various restrictions and requirements. And it's very slow. And so people don't even want to invest in building a home here where they can develop housing somewhere else. So there's that. And then land use restrictions, environmental restrictions, some of them just don't make sense and they're slowing down. Now, you also, though, you can't just build housing. You've got to have jobs and good schools and good hospitals. And so it's just an orchestration of efforts that we have to attract businesses so they create jobs and then address the housing shortage. So none of that's happening under the Democrat leadership of the state of Oregon. And then we have Val Hoyle, who wants to take those bad policies to Washington, D.C. and apply them to the whole United States. So the SPEED Act and the Fix Our Forest Act, all of these things that would be good for the district, she's not supporting.
So related to housing is also the homeless issue. What would you like to see done there?
That is the epicenter of so many problems. And I don't know if you remember, I had a round table for veterans issues in Winston in 2024, bringing together stakeholders that all serve our veteran population that's so important to all of us. And law enforcement came to the table too. They employ a lot of veterans. And the reason they do these, I'm going to have another one to bring the stakeholders here in Eugene that are involved in the homeless, serving the homeless, the addicted, and the mentally ill. Now, we do have homeless people that are not addicted or mentally ill. There are people living in their cars that work full time. That is just unacceptable, and we need to have affordable housing for that working class. But the addicted are, I hear upwards to 90% of the homeless are addicted. We have a real problem with not having adequate treatment capacity to bring people out of addiction and mental illness. Sometimes it's one or the other, sometimes it's both. I mean, there are lots of different situations that drive the homeless situation. There's no single solution, but there's some basic, we need to expand treatment capacity. We need to require accountability for all these hundreds and hundreds of publicly funded homeless addiction mental illness programs that are not delivering positive outcomes. We are growing the homeless problem. So just as they brought the veteran stakeholders together who are kind of operating in silos or redundancies or not identifying gaps in service to veterans, I am bringing together the stakeholders from law enforcement, from housing nonprofits, and the healthcare industry together to start solving problems together, to start communicating. That's what we need. We need people who will work on solving problems, not just dig in their heels and name mudslinging and just not get anywhere. So I'm going to convene a public safety roundtable, and there'll be more to come on that.
Now, you've talked before about federal forest issues. Of course, there's been a change in direction during the current administration in Washington, D.C. But any of these issues, whether the position changes at the top, it takes a long time to usually implement some of these changes. Would you like to see or try to find a pathway to do some of the changes sooner?
Absolutely. We need federal partners willing to work with state leadership. We need state leadership willing to work with the feds. We don't have that in Oregon. We have sued the Trump we're using Oregon tax dollars to just sue the Trump administration. I think the last I heard was something like 53 lawsuits. You know, we've got to come together and start solving the problems for the people who live in Oregon. If you go to my website, I've done several pieces. There's a lot of information there on the laws that I would support, the policies that I would support. I would, you know, the roadless rule, we need to revoke that and start maintaining our forests and the roads into them. I support sustainable harvesting, that we sell timber instead of letting it burn. We need to protect our forests, not just talk about, oh, there's been a drought and we didn't get any snow, so hunker down, everyone. She's going to burn, you know? That is what our current congresswoman is telling people. It doesn't, here's what I have to say. We need to get serious about maintaining our forests because it is going to get hot. We are going to have years that where there's not enough water, and we know that's going to happen, and we should prepare for it. And oh, by the way, we should get back to having the good jobs we used to have in the forest management and timber industry and get our mills up and running. We need a federal partner to work with the businesses, the timber businesses. There's a broad spectrum of them. We need a federal partner to facilitate getting back to prosperity and preserving our forests.
If you end up being elected in the fall, have you already begun to make connections with GOP members that are already, especially in the House, but in Congress in general, and kind of get more of a feel of what it would be like to actually be there?
Absolutely. I have been in touch with Bruce Westerman. He's the only forester in Congress and is proposing a lot of great, you know, he's the sponsor of the Fix Our Forest Act that I would have supported. It doesn't address everything, but Val Hoyle voted against it without explanation in 2024. I have a good rapport with that congressperson, and I will continue to. And yeah, I've even had people who are going to be my constituents already reaching out to me to, you know, there's so many unique businesses in agriculture and timber. A lot of people that are trying to buy really expensive equipment to modernize their forestry work or their mills have been hit hard by some of these tariffs. And, you know, we need that information from the ground. This is how I work. You know, we facilitate the ease for businesses here in the district. You know, meanwhile, our Oregon legislature decoupled the federal tax code from the state tax code. Val Hoyle never breathed a word about it. She did not advocate for our businesses in the 4th District who are trying to buy new equipment, and they could have had a one-year bonus depreciation. Instead, silent on it. And our Oregon legislature and governor took away that amazing little benefit that would have helped kind of jumpstart businesses or encourage them to invest in their businesses. These are the things that a federal representative should get involved in, and that's what I intend to do.
What about your background in the military? How do you think that would help you address foreign policy issues currently, like the Iran conflict and other things that may come along?
I'm so glad that we have many veterans just responding to the call to serve in Congress when we are in, you know, very likely a wartime Congress. We need people like me who understand national security, who, you know, 30 years, I picked up a little bit, and top secret clearance. It is very serious. It is a primary function of the federal government to ensure the national security of the whole United States, and to take very seriously our role on the world stage. And we have representatives, including Val Hoyle, just absolutely unprepared to be clear-eyed and understand the ramifications. She's rooting for Iran. I'm not. I'm rooting for America.
Less than a minute left here. Talk about your upcoming events real quickly.
So I'll be in Roseburg. The Douglas County Republicans are having a 250th birthday celebration for our great country at Melrose Vineyard. So I'll be doing that. I'll be staying in town and then door knocking and meeting all the great citizens of Roseburg. We are having a meet Monique. If you want to come and talk to me, anyone's welcome to come to the Backside Brewery. 12:30 to 1:30, we'll just be taking a break and then going out and door knocking again, just reaching voters. And like I said, I really need contributions. We need to reach voters. We need to reach hundreds of thousands of voters. And so MoniqueForCongress.com, there's a contribution link there. And if you want to door knock, we can get you set up to do that as well.
All right. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, thanks for being on today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.